Okay, we are in Psalm 13 today. Psalm 13, we begin our study in verse number 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Psalm of David, and he writes, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" How long is what David continues to say. It seemed as if God had left town, and it sure seemed as if he was not talking to David during these rough times. He wants answers, and he's not finding any, and as a result, he starts looking to himself for answers. He's talking about taking counsel in his own soul, or wrestling with his own thoughts. And so he thinks that God is not saying anything. But you know what? God never doesn't say anything. He never not says anything, however I should put that, I don't know. But God's quietness, let me put it this way, God's quietness is never his silence. Even when God is quiet, he's not being silent. When God is quiet, he is telling us to keep on living for him by faith. Keep on doing right by faith. Keep on trusting him, even though we're not hearing from him. Just keep on keeping on. 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, "I have prevailed against him." Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. In other words, Lord, show me something, or I'm going to fall to pieces. Talk to me, Lord, please. You know, David is looking for God's will. He says, "Enlighten my eyes." So he's looking for God's will. He doesn't realize he is in God's will. How do you know that? He's praying. See, God was using his quietness to get David to pray. God's quietness was God saying, "David, you need to pray." 5. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Well, David started this prayer, as he always does, with not always, but most of the time, all discouraged. But because he prayed, he has turned the corner. His prayer to God has now encouraged him. The exercise of praying does great things for our spirits. Even if prayer doesn't change our circumstances, it does pray us. I should say it does change us. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Anyone with half a brain could look at creation and would conclude that there has to be a designer and a creator. So God says, if you don't believe in me, you are a fool. And you got to be foolish not to believe in God. And not believing in God and being foolish leads to something else. We see it in the last part of verse 1. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. In other words, people who do not believe in God will also be morally corrupt in one way or another. It's not that they can't do good things and that they never do anything good in the eyes of the world. There are some people who are that way and they don't believe in God, but they are morally corrupt in one way or another. After all, if I don't believe in God, then I'm not accountable to anyone for how I live. I don't have to answer for it. 2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And so God is pictured as looking to see if anyone, of their own free will, apart from the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, is making a move toward him. 3. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. God says all people are rotten to the core. Rotten with sin. Every human being is in desperate need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call on the Lord? To those who sin and never repent, to those who give godly people a hard time, God says, have you no knowledge? In other words, you should know better than to be like that. Why are you like that? Are you brainless? 5. There they are in great fear. For God is with the generation of the righteous. So David, with the help of the Holy Spirit, looks down through time. And he sees Judgment Day. And he sees the terror of those who have opposed God. 6. You shame the counsel of the poor. But the Lord is his refuge. Wicked people may abuse the vulnerable. And wicked people may rob good people of happiness. But they're not going to succeed forever because God will give his people the desires of their heart in the end. It may take a while, but God will fulfill the dreams of his people, of the righteous. And so he says, you shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. David prays, boy, I just wish the time for God to rescue his people from those who are hurting them was right now. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. I wish you would save us right now, Jesus. Hard times are causing David to pray fervently. People who don't normally pray, pray when they're in big trouble. Just like a lot of people don't eat until they're hungry. Well, that's true, but when you're hungry, you eat. It's the most natural thing in the world. And when you're in trouble, you pray. It's the most natural thing in the world for most people. Hunger is to food what trouble is to prayer. Hunger makes you eat. It's the most natural thing in the world to eat when you're hungry. Affliction makes people pray. 15. Chapter 15, that is. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? That's the question. In other words, the question is, what type of people are saved? What type of people enjoy God's fellowship? What type of people will be with God? What type of person are they? And he answers, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Answer, who's saved? Who will be saved? Who will be in heaven? The one who walks with the Lord. And someone who walks with the Lord will have their life leaning in the direction of holiness. And when they blow it, they'll feel rotten and they will confess. Who will be with the Lord? Those who are sincere. They're not sneaky and deceptive. They're honest people. They walk uprightly. They speak the truth in their heart. Honest people. 3. Here's more of a description of them. Who are the saved people? He who does not backbite with his neighbor, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He's not a gossip. He doesn't talk behind people's back. He doesn't say bad things about people that aren't true. You cannot slander other people or hurt people on purpose and at the same time enjoy fellowship with God. One excludes the other. A further description of the saved. Verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. Dirty jokes are not funny to people who are right with God. Stars or singers who make their millions through unrighteousness do not receive the applause of people who are right with God. If you can applaud trash, you're not right with God. If you can applaud trash, you're not in fellowship with God. If you can applaud trash, you're not saved. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You can count on someone who's walking with the Lord. That's because they keep their word. Even when it's not easy, they keep their word. 5. he who does not put out his money at usury. In other words, a person who's right with God will help those who need help. And that's because they've been helped, and they know, and they've got the Spirit of God in them. They don't take advantage of people who need help. They help people who need help. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. In other words, a person who is right with God stands for what is right, even though he could gain something from doing wrong. He will not side with those who do wrong simply because he can get something out of it. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. In other words, keep me safe, God. You keep me safe, God, because I'm counting on you and no one else. I'm counting on you and nothing else. And that's really the only way to be. Verse 2, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. My goodness is nothing apart from you. None of us would enjoy one single good thing. None of us would enjoy one single moment of happiness if it wasn't for God who gives it to us as a gift. Our goodness would be nothing apart from God. 3, and to the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. David loved the saints of God. On fire, sold out Christians make the best friends, if you are a Christian yourself who sold out to God. That's who you want to be around with. You know, people who love God, people who love the Word of God, want to be around others who love God and love the Word of God. 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. In other words, David says, I won't be around that ungodly garbage. I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm not even going to talk about what is sinful. You won't hear me speak the name of some other god. That's what he's saying. I'm not even going to talk about what is unrighteous. Good lesson for us right here. Talking leads to thinking. Thinking leads to temptation. Temptation leads to sin. Some things shouldn't even be talked about. You got to be careful what you listen to so that it doesn't put wrong thoughts in your mind, and that leads to sin. 5. You, O Lord, are my portion. You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. God was David's inheritance. In other words, David could be the poorest man on earth and still feel like a rich man because his relationship with God was so satisfying. 6. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Many people know God as the rewarder. Very few know him as David did, and that is as the actual reward. God was David's reward. He said in verse 5, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance in my cup. God was not just the rewarder to David. He was the reward. Just knowing God was good enough and being with God was good enough. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Even the most well-meaning human counselor cannot give you the precise advice that you need sometimes. And that goes for all of us. Pray, praise, meditate on the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will take His Word and apply it to your life exactly the way you need it to be applied. And that is why David says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. It was the Lord who gave him counsel. Because he labored in prayer and in the Word. 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David knew that he and the Lord had a great thing together. And he wouldn't let anyone take that from him. You take anything else, but you're not taking that. So he says, I have set the Lord always before me. 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. David was a happy man because he was close to God. When he was close to God, I should say, he was a happy man. He was miserable when he sinned and didn't confess it. 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. David knows he is going to die like the rest of us. But he knows that those, including himself, who have faith in Christ, are not going to stay dead. They're going to be raised. 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The path of life refers to the right way to live. Notice how everything is connected. You draw close to God. He shows you what to do. You do it. You experience joy. And then you want to draw even closer to Him. It all continues to accelerate and build upon itself. Psalm 17. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer that is not from deceitful lips. It's important to be honest with God when we pray. Don't use deceitful lips when you're talking to God in prayer. He knows what we're thinking anyway. Two things are very important when we pray: reverence and honesty. 2. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. David had been falsely accused. So he is asking God to show everyone that he's innocent. He's asking God to vindicate him. Verse 3. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Boy, this is a great verse. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night and have tried me. David got a spiritual checkup from God one evening, and he passed. And that's saying an awful lot. Because if you can pass a nighttime conscience examination by God, you're probably doing okay. You probably don't have any unconfessed sins in your life or unrepented sins in your life. That's a hard examination to pass, you know. During the day, when our minds are occupied, it's much easier to overlook Holy Spirit conviction than it is at night when everything is quiet. 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept myself from the path of the destroyer. The word of God will suppress our sin nature if we will think about it or speak it during times of temptation. He says, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept myself from the path of the destroyer. You think about the word, you speak the word, and it'll keep you from sin. It suppresses our sin nature. 5. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. He is asking God to keep him on track so that he doesn't mess up. Best way to start each day is to ask God to help you not to mess up. And it's best to ask him before you even get out of bed. 6. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. David prayed because he believed God was real. He says, you will hear me, O God. That's why he prayed, because he knew God was real and he knew that God heard his prayers. It's a lot easier to pray when you know that Almighty God is real and that he's actually listening. If we don't have that conviction, well, I don't know why anybody would pray. But it's true. Whether we believe it or not, it's true. 7. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you, from them who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. We'll do anything to protect our eyes, won't we? In fact, our reflexes go to work protecting our eyes without us even thinking about it. That's why if something's coming close to you, or if somebody goes like this with their hand, you blink. It's just a natural reflex to protect our eyes. And David is saying, think of me as your eye, God. protect me like you would protect your eyes. Verse 9. From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. David knew that there were those who didn't like him and were out to get him. And there are bad people in this world who hurt because they like to hurt. I don't agree with the liberal assessment of human nature, which says people just need to be understood. And if they're just understood, they're basically decent. No, that's not true. That's not biblical. Man is corrupt by nature. And some people are just bad because they're bad and they want to be bad. 10. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. A fat heart means an unforgiving heart or a cold, hard, callous heart. Some people are cold, hard, and calloused. And you don't want to be around them. And you don't want to get on their bad side. Boy, given the choice, I would rather fall into the hands of an angry God than an angry human like that. Because God is more merciful. 11. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth, like a lion that is eager to tear his prey, and as a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life and whose belly you will fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of the substance to their babes. And that's true. The Bible says that wicked have their portion in this life. In other words, the wicked have their reward in this life. They live for the things of this life. And God often lets them have those things that they live for. They put a lot of work, and they use whatever talent God has given them to get whatever they want in this life. And God is fair. He lets them have it. He lets them have what they work for. And if they're good at it and they persevere, God blesses them. The thing is, when it comes to the wicked, all they will ever have are the things they have in this life. In eternity, there won't be anything good. They're going to leave all the good that they had in this life behind. And all they're going to have is bad all the time. 15. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awaken your likeness. David had many material possessions, but he was smart enough to realize that they didn't satisfy. David's walk with God is what satisfied him. But he knew that complete satisfaction would only come in eternity. And that's because we cannot completely enjoy God until we're out of these bodies that get sick, that feel pain, and that like to sin. We're going to be much better off when we are in our permanent bodies.